Chet Edwards going out to get the snow plow and clear out the driveway and all that before you can get to work today, huh?
Listen, Scott, I would take 45 degrees in rain today. We've got about 4 or 5 inches of snow on the ground, despite all the hot air in Washington.
Yeah, who are those people who decided to put that? Why don't y'all have the national capital in Key West? It'd be a lot nicer down there. Well, you got to worry about hurricanes then, I guess.
Those founding fathers.
One more time. Hey, it's been a week ago, but I'd like to go ahead and get your thoughts on the State of the Union address and what you heard and what kind of a reaction there is inside the Beltway since then.
Well, I think the economy and jobs and the deficit continue to dominate the discussion. On the economy, the good news is in the last quarter of 2009, the economy grew by 5.7% in our country, and that's great news compared to the beginning of 2009, when it actually dropped by an annualized rate of 6%. The problem is we're still lagging in terms of jobs. You know, that's the last thing that happens when you start climbing out of a deep recession as we've been in. Companies are hesitant to hire people till they're confident the economy is really moving forward. So we're still 7 million jobs short of where we were 2 years ago. The deficit, I know the president talked about that. I'm glad he supports pay-as-you-go. I'm glad I salute him for a three-year freeze on discretionary non-defense spending. It's a necessary step. It's not going to get us where we need to be, but it's a step in the right direction. I like the idea of an entitlement commission where we bring Republicans and Democrats together to try to address the deficits that are exploding. We have to do something about it, and you'll never really solve the deficit problem until you get into entitlements. My problem with the Obama administration budget and State of the Union address is I don't think the president put enough emphasis on deficit reduction. He's still focusing on the jobs issue, and I tend to think now that the economy is growing, now is the time to start reducing the deficit. That'll spur the private market and get more people back to work than necessarily a massive new government jobs program.
You know, I was reading some information today, and a lot of budget hawks, and again, you said it first, the document that's out there in front of the lawmakers now does not even approach what the final document's going to look like. Understand
right.
That. I mean, we've got a framework in place, but
right.
No matter what, even the hawks, even the ones who really, really want to see budget cuts take place, suddenly when it's in their congressional district, they start to feel the heat, or when it's in their state. And, you know, NASA is a great example. This is something yep. that obviously developed an entire industry down along the coast, and
right.
It did well in Alabama and Florida as well. When do elected leaders stand up and say, I know I have to take the hit because that's what we're going to have to do to save money? You know, we do that, Chet, in our homes personally. We do it in our lives personally. And now it's all about the political fallout if funding isn't for that congressional district or that special project within a state. When does the responsibility start with the guys and gals in Washington?
Well, it started with me a long time ago when in the last decade decisions were being made that were digging this country into a huge deficit hole. I predicted we were doing it and said it was wrong to do it. I think we all have to recognize, just as you said, families and businesses do, in tough times you have to tighten your belt and make tough choices. And I think this three-year freeze on non-defense discretionary spending is a very positive step forward. Some say, well, it's really not going to make a difference. Well, it'll reduce the national debt by $250 billion, and that's significant in my book, and I think Americans would agree. Will that get us all the way where we need to go? No, it won't. But that's where the next step has to be, to look at entitlement programs. In terms of NASA, I know Senator Shelby, who's been a deficit hawk, just screamed and said NASA's so, you know, the space program's so important, we've got to have the government doing it, not private enterprise. We actually have a company in our district that is building rockets that can put cargo at the International Space Station in orbit around the Earth much cheaper than we can pay the Russians to do it, which is what we're going to have to be doing in the years ahead. And it is ironic that Senator Shelby, who's a staunch defender of small government and the private enterprise system, says, no, it's awful to let these private companies be involved in the space program. I like the idea of private companies competing to bring down costs, and it let us still move forward with space, but bring down the cost to taxpayers.
You know, Chet Edwards joining us from D.C. Pointedly, one of the things that has been dug up through this proposed budget reduces the itemized deduction write-offs for families who have incomes of over $250,000. Well, truth be told, those are the people who are probably giving more to charities, no matter what they are. Why would you penalize those folks who are most able to give and, in many cases, most willing to give?
Yeah, I would have a real problem with changing itemized deduction laws that would cause people to give less money to the United Way, less money to our colleges and universities that are so dependent upon private charity. I think we're going to have to make some tough choices all around. Nobody can be totally exempted. And the fact is, while we were fighting two wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, and soldiers making $25,000 a year were risking their lives, a lot of us ended up getting tax breaks. And maybe as we're facing the largest deficits in American history, maybe some of us ought not to get some of the tax breaks we got while others were risking their lives for $30,000 a year. But I am not for punishing the rich. I'm not for attacking the rich. I don't think that kind of class warfare is supported by the American people or will get us anywhere.
You know, but and that's right. $250,000 is rich to a lot of people. And I can remember going back to 2 years ago when during the political forum that we had. You know, the question is, what is middle class? Can we define middle class? Because there are a lot of people who think they are, and they end up getting taxed more than they think they should. And so it ends up that they're in the upper class. One thing I want to mention is, it appears that because some of the Bush tax initiatives are going to expire, there are a lot of people who may end up in middle America getting backdoor taxes, that there could be some backdoor tax increases that are going to result in a bigger tax bill for middle-class families because, I mean, the administration plans to cut, what, $1 trillion from the deficit in the next 10 years, if that's the number right. I mean, some of that is going to have to be paid by middle America, isn't it?
Well, I think middle America didn't get a fair shake when it came to some of the tax law changes over the last 10 to 20 years. And as we restructure the tax system, I think we ought to be fair to the middle class. But I'm not willing to say that anybody is going to get by without having to make some sacrifice. You know, we've got families out there, consumer companies are telling me families are buying detergent to clean their family's clothes, but not buying fabric softener, because they're trying to make ends meet. And I think we've got to be honest with everybody. If we're going to get these massive deficits under control and not to drown our children and grandchildren in a sea of debt that we owe to the Chinese, we're all going to have to make tough choices. Some of that may be on the tax break side. Some of that may be on the reduction in spending programs side. Everybody is probably going to have to make some sacrifices.
Certainly. And finally, I'd like to get your thoughts on the vote on Ben Bernanke. I mean, by the closest margin ever, Bernanke was given another term as chairman of the Fed.
Well, I, as a House member, don't most confirmations.
Sure.
But I think at this point, stability is very important. And I can criticize some decisions made by Ben Bernanke, but it seems that the capital markets, the private enterprise system, business people across the country generally tend to respect Ben Bernanke's leadership in keeping us from going into a second Great Depression. So we'll have to see how the markets react. But a week or two ago, when there was a talk about rejecting Bernanke, the stock market dropped dramatically and people lost billions and billions of dollars in their net worth and their college saving funds and their retirement account. So perhaps some stability with Mr. Bernanke in place is a positive thing. Had he been rejected, I think you would have seen the markets go downward, because the one thing the private enterprise system doesn't like is uncertainty and instability.
Yep, absolutely. Well, we know that we'll be talking the budget for weeks and weeks to come, but it's good to at least get a first look at that. Chet Edwards, Congressman, joins us the most Wednesdays when Congress is in session. You can hear the entire interview on our website at WTAW.com. Thanks for the time, Chet.
Thank you, Scott.
All right.
Bye now.